Hello, folks. Dan Breed here, the Culinary Libertarian. Welcome back to the podcast. Happy to have you here. Happy to be here. Well, this episode was supposed to be my episode about the shipping crisis, shipping debacle, with some content from the Ice Age Farmer podcast, webpage, and some other stuff. And, well, it's not going to happen that way. My desktop computer crashed, and I can't get into it. So I'm trying to puzzle through that one. The laptop I'm using, this one, is not playing nice with my primary recording app, so I can't record guests because for some reason it's not working. So, and I can't make Skype work on this laptop either, so I'm just all thumbs and befuddled beyond belief about this tech issue. So I wanted to at least put something out and say, hello, I haven't forgotten to do this. It's just that I'm being challenged on all levels here. So one of the things really, I guess, one of the things to talk about, and it's not an easy change to make, is learning how to depend less on the current systems of distribution that we are used to and familiar with for all of our stuffs. Now we can't easily, I don't think, make shaving cream and shoelaces. But now that, you know, spring isn't far away, in some places spring never left. You know, Florida had winter for 6 weeks, if that. It's time to start thinking about gardening. It's time to start thinking about what can you produce in your backyard, or what can you produce in your backyard and your neighbor's backyard, and to start building community through soil, through your backyard. What can you plant? What can they plant? Can someone raise chickens? There's a lot of problems, and I earnestly believe, and I don't have any support for this because all of my notes are on the other computer, I earnestly believe that a lot of this is manufactured, even if it's the unintended consequence. So workers, there was talk last year of problems in the meat industry because labor had to be quarantined for 2 weeks, and they had to be 6 feet apart. So you may remember just hundreds of gallons, or at least tens of thousands of gallons of milk being dumped, and untold quantities of eggs being destroyed, and pigs being just slaughtered and left to rot because there wasn't room enough in the factories with the change in staff, change in labor to handle what was the former usual workload. Now, our friend Mike Meharry has written another piece reminding readers that the problem in the meat industry is almost entirely created by the federal government and the Wholesome Meat Act of 1967 and the consolidation and monopolization of industry into pretty much four main companies that grow and slaughter meat. And when the bottleneck happens in such a small amount of companies handling up to 80% of the meat, well, you're going to have problems. I have mentioned before on this show that when you have a situation where so much meat is handled by so few people, and something bad happens, like E. coli, then that meat gets shipped to dozens of states, and lots of people get sick. And just last week, I posted something on the Culinary Libertarian Facebook page that exactly happened. I think it was, I don't know how many states, it was 10 or more states found meat. Well, the states didn't find it, but meat was found in 10 or so states with E. coli. I was like, well, you know, so, and so you have these buffoons running this administration who can't just the you know, we're all comics now because they're just so bad. Everything's a joke. It's not a funny joke, but it's a joke. So we have a guy who doesn't know his name. We have a woman who doesn't understand basic economics. And they're going to fix the problem without ever recognizing or acknowledging that the reason the problem exists is because they tried to fix the problem. The government, tried to fix the problem that they created when they tried to fix the problem that they created. It's one of those just ridiculous, it's like an Escher art piece where it just keeps going and going and going. And it's just absurd. So most of us can't raise cows. Most of us don't want to raise cows. Certainly don't want to raise cows for eating because there's a lot of work goes into the getting the beef part. And that's perfectly fine. However, lots of us can raise chickens if only for getting the eggs. And that's protein, and that's the thing to eat, that's the thing to barter with. That is a kind of currency. So, finding ways to become independent or less dependent on the food distribution system, which is probably not going to get better until it gets better. It's going to be made worse till it gets better. And there's a lot going on. And all these things are happening kind of at the same time, and it seems preposterous. It was Zubby wrote I don't know when he wrote the tweet, but I saw it today, and his comment was, if somebody had written a novel about the events that took place between 2019 and 2021, it would be panned. It would just be absolutely thrown out for inconsistencies and magnificent plot holes, and it would be inconceivable to invent a story as preposterous, as outright stupid as the one where one self-appointed guy, as far as we know, has decided that the entire planet needs to stop eating meat. They're going to grow crickets and grasshoppers and algae and all kinds of plants. And your new diet is going to be highly processed plant food with polyunsaturated fatty acid for binder and flavor. And this is how everyone's going to be made well and healthy, by eating dog food. If someone had written a book like that, nobody would buy it. Hillary Clinton would be a best-selling author compared to a book like that. But here we are. And the plant-based food folks are in earnest about pushing whatever brand you want to call it, Impossible Beyond, KFC and Burger King. I've made comments before that my local version of a Kroger had when this first came out. The plant-based meat, I think there was probably 12, maybe 16 feet of cooler meat shelf space, and all five shelves filled with all the crap that they wanted us to buy. And now, you're lucky if you see one package wide. So 16 feet has gone down to one package wide on all five shelves. Nobody wants it. So that is the market speaking. Nobody wants that crap. And the people who want it, go find it. But apparently they are precious and few. Certainly in this part of, so out west, you in cattle country, we're going to sell plants. So, there's a lot of reason to be concerned, but there isn't a lot of reason to worry. And that may be a very fine distinction. But my caution against worry is it is negative use of energy. There's nothing you can do. Worry produces nothing. It is useless. Being concerned means to me that you are aware of what's going on and you can take actions to fix them. Being worried is just, it's net neutral. No, it's net negative. It's bad. It's not bad. It's just, it's useless. It's not productive. And what is important for the people who are working working against the Great Reset, the Great Food Transformation, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. It's focus and concern and deliberate action is how that kind of thing can be beaten. One of the advantages for those of us eager for the downfall of all of those enterprises is there are exceptionally top heavy. Now, there's just a lot of management at the top. So the good news is it takes a lot of capital to keep them going. I guess since they're probably backed by trillionaires, BlackRock and the Vanguard Group and quite possibly the Vatican and maybe even the royal family, and the Rothschilds. There's a lot of money to support this thing, but at some point it's going to crash under its own weight. And so there's that to look forward to. So there's that to look. There's optimism to be had, but I will concede, and it's not always easy to see. Joy is worth finding, and joy may be difficult to spot at times. And I'm saying this as much to remind myself that when the dire seems immense, and sometimes it does, Finding joy in even the smallest of things to keep the optimism and the hope alive is worth doing. And we need to build community around that too. So, anyway, I'm sorry. I have no skills in fixing computers. None. It all started in 82 with the Tandy Raider Shack 80 and the syntax errors from the booklet they gave us, which we couldn't even make the dumb thing go run repeat to say, here I am, or whatever it said. I'm looking forward to getting my problems fixed, computer problems, and I do. I have a person who was supposed to be spoken with today. She was going to be a really nice interview about using food as medicine. If I can get everything worked out, John Moody is going to come back, and we're going to talk about being as a household. So some of a great deal of how we can work against those working against us. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Is start with the household. Even if you live in a city plot, you have some land, find a way to turn that into a food garden and find a way to keep out the urban deer because they eat everything. But being a productive household as opposed to a consumptive household, and I mentioned this before, and there's that's a line that's going to move for everybody, but there's a mind shift that happens when you think about how to do those things. And I want John to share on that, because John's talked a lot about it. And I think it's valuable and useful information and mindset to have as we go forward into the world they're making for us. I think noncompliance in the system they've chosen for us, since we didn't vote for it, we didn't agree to it, we haven't complied. Noncompliance, disobey is going to be probably necessary. I want 2022 to be a good year for all of us, and it's going to, it comes with the realization that what they've started isn't going to, they're not going to just stop it. Kind of like the government never actually gets smaller. No one ever goes into office to say, I'm only going to serve this term or half my term, and I'm going to quit. That doesn't happen. Government grows, and so this behemoth of resets and industrial revolutions is only going to increase also. So it requires resistance. It just does. It requires decentralization on as many levels as is possible. And it requires resistance. Probably quietly at first, and I have no, my skills of prognostication are on par with my skills of computer repair. N'existe pas. So, so that's what I got. Have a good week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tolerating these disruptions that I can't control, and I'm going to find a way somehow, I don't know how, I'm going to find a way to get back into interviews and good shows. And so I say that because this is a filler, and I'm sorry about that. So enough apology. Have a good week, everybody. Thank you so much, and talk to you soon.